Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in
wake
this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody. I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Woo! Mm-hmm. All right. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined today in the studio by Ciro Dobrik.
And Coca-Cola. Hey, thanks for having us.
And John Greenberg.
And Zephyr Hills.
That's right. And Zephyr Hills.
Okay.
That's our sponsor now, Zephyr Hills.
It has to be.
Coca-Cola and Zephyr Hills are the sponsor of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. If you go buy one, go be sure to tell the people that you bought it because you heard it on the show. That should help. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's Monday afternoon in Florida, where thank God we are not in Texas.
Oh, my God.
My prayers out to everybody over there in Texas underwater. I mean, 11 trillion gallons of water have fallen onto the southeast corner of Texas.
That's significant.
You know, like, we are lucky. I guess the last major hurricanes we had was in 04, right?
Yeah, it was Wilma. Wilma.
Which went right over Florida. I mean, it went right over our neighborhood. The eye went right over this part of Broward, right? Came across the West Coast, right?
Right, and it didn't stick around and just pound.
No, it didn't linger.
It didn't pound.
Like an unwanted relative. It just sat there and, you know, and people are getting mad because they're like, why didn't they tell people to get out? No one. That's the thing. No one wants to be told to get out of their house.
Yeah.
You always get those hoople heads that are like, oh, I'm going to stick around. And then you got to go and save their ass.
I mean, technically, they didn't give them the warning in some areas, which is a little odd. I mean, but then again, they said, what are we going to have? 7 million people driving out of Texas
yeah.
at the same time?
Right. Well, there was a threat of a hurricane here last November, like at the end of last hurricane season.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to kill us, but it missed us like at the
what
last minute.
What was that? One announcer goes, we mean it. Your children will die and your dogs will die. What the hell are you talking
Calm
about?
Calm down, dude. Leave my dog out of it. Yeah. No, we, remember that? It took like, it pivoted around us.
Yeah.
It was coming up and we was going to hit it and then it kind of jockeyed away. And I was almost like a bunch of us were on the beach going, you know, fanning it away. Yeah, that could have been brutal.
I thought we were goners.
Actually, the people in, I shouldn't say that. The people in Cocoa Beach and Port St. Lucie got hit pretty hard with that last year. Was it last year?
Yeah, it was last November.
Year. Yeah. Well, it's horrible. Like when we had Wilma here, we had Empower for like a week. You know, so you don't have to go to work. You know, everything just stops. Everything in life stops. You just got to now you got to worry about taking care of your kin.
Priorities change.
Hopefully finding everybody alive, you know. That's
What's up, everybody in Facebook Live Land? Adam Hayes, our regular listener. Thanks for joining us. And so, dude, the only thing I'm most surprised that more and more people weren't blaming Trump for not being there.
Although he was there from 2 days before.
Well, I guess he's going tomorrow.
Right. But he sent supplies. He told the governor he said a state of emergency.
Yeah, you don't want the presidential cavalcade going in there when everybody's trying to get the fuck out.
No way.
You know what I mean? That makes sense, right? You're not going to have, what's his name?
It'd be cool if he showed up with those water helicopters. And just landed right in the middle.
Like a duck.
Just get on. Jump on.
He might not even go tomorrow. I mean, they're weighing whether or not it's advantageous or a problem for him to go tomorrow because it could be taxing on the services they're providing.
Right. Yeah, you know, all these people showing up there and stuff like that. But I did watch him speak today. He had the president of Norway on there. Yeah, and they were talking about. I guess they had a terrorist attack, a knife attack in Norway.
Great, great.
Yeah, so all the gun people are like, "Oh well, let's get rid of knives now. How am I supposed to cut my steak?"
Yeah, no more steak for you.
Yeah, especially, Trump didn't want to mess up that hair. It's too humid out there. I'm gonna mess up my coif.
You imagine him going in with one of those kitchen hats?
Yeah.
Hey,
shows up with a fucking shower cap. I don't want to mess up my hair. It's too much rain here.
There you go.
Finland. Thanks, Craig Henney, Mr. Political, my political correctness guy. I shouldn't say that, but my political advisor on Facebook Live, Finland, not Norway. Did I say Norway?
You did say Norway.
Norway.
But aren't they the same?
But yeah, Finland, isn't Norway, that the Finland? Home of fjords?
They like all like hot chocolate. And,
exactly. And
fjords in Finland.
Yeah, the fjords. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just glad, right? Because we've dodged a bullet here in Florida. Let's keep dodging that bullet. Yeah. How much months we have left of hurricane season? Does it go through November?
November.
Yeah.
Ugh. And it's worse than October. I think they say that September, October is the worst.
Late August and September, I think, has historically been the worst.
All right, so we really got like 30, 60 days.
The heat index this year has definitely saved us a little bit.
The heat index?
Because it's hotter?
It's too hot, yeah.
I thought that's what gives hurricanes.
That's what someone told me the other day, too.
Who told you that? Was he smoking a crack pipe when he did?
No. It was a
reputable source?
No one's reputable, but it was a person I know. And I think it is heat that causes it, right?
The water gets warm and it...
Yeah, water's definitely got something to do with
it.
Yeah, sure.
But we're not having the same kind of coastal flow, so it's not...
Oh, yeah? Yeah, so El Niño. La Niña is helping us out. That's why they get more in the Gulf and up in South Carolina. It was funny, like, when we had all those hurricanes back in 2004, we had like 3 or 4. Remember, we got hit by a ball all over the place, like over 2 years. And I just bought this house in 2004, so it was great. And then after those hurricanes hit us for 2 years, there's a lot of people who lived in South Florida go, hell with this, I'm going to move to the Carolinas. And then the people moved to North Carolina, and where the hurricanes start hitting, North Carolina.
Big time.
These dumbasses can't run from hurricanes. You know what I mean? Now, I mean, we got the house, we got all the, what are you going to do? But there's something to say like, okay, I mean, I don't got like nice furniture and stuff. It's kind of, it needs all the furnishings, all my appliances. Yeah, it's kind of crappy, but the appliances all. So if a hurricane came and just blew everything away, it's all right. So it's a fresh start. Let's write me a check, insurance company, and
let's try this again.
Yeah, let's do this again. Let's rebuild.
All right.
It's like the $6 million man.
I haven't been through it, but something tells me it's not as simple as the way you just described it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, all your important stuff, right? You got your important stuff put away safely somewhere?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got a big safe that we put all our the birth certificates and stuff like that. You know, important documents, right? But when, so what if I lose some t-shirts? I just go to Target and order more of my superhero t-shirts, $12.99 at Target, which is great.
I got mine in a Ziploc bag perfectly.
Yeah?
Yeah, right under the...
Your t-shirts or your documents?
The documents.
Oh. Yeah.
Where do you keep your t-shirts?
In a safe.
I
put my diplomas and my birth certificate and my passport right there in the closet. Yeah. But my t-shirts I put in a safe.
Yeah, you gotta take care of them.
I have a booby trap safe. I shouldn't say that, but I won't tell you how it's booby trapped. But if somebody breaks into my house and finds it, and they try to open it, things can get ugly.
Damn.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. That gives me faith in America.
Doesn't it?
It does, actually.
I mean, listen, you can't be a statistic. Our heart goes out to everybody in Texas. The pets, and you see people walking in the water holding their dogs, and what a mess, man.
Just a mess.
You look at houses there, it looked like Hurricane Andrew knocked the fuck out of houses, right? That was in 92 or something like that. In Florida, the houses were leveled. I mean, there wasn't like a house standing in Southwest Miami. And what diplomas, Craig Henney? Are you talking to, you must be talking to, I don't know, did you got a degree?
Not in hurricane.
Craig has to be the smartest guy in a room. Otherwise, he becomes very uncomfortable. So you don't have a degree?
No.
No. Okay. Well, because Craig's wondering what degrees you have.
I have none.
Yeah.
I have none.
Degree of hard knocks. All right, so that's the hurricane, and let's hope we don't have any more. Let's hope Florida we can, you know what I mean, avoid them this year.
Yeah.
And then next year will be, because every year it goes by, you don't get hit, you're just waiting for that big one. You're okay, it's a matter of time now.
We've been real lucky, though.
So that's one thing. Also, by the way, I want to say thanks to everybody at Vasani's Comedy Theater in Port Charlotte. Had a great time Wednesday through Saturday. Great shows. Good there. Shows. Packed house. Great food. Oh, my God. Every night. You know, you get a free meal. You know, it's great. And you can order from the menu. So like, I ordered like steak one night. I ordered chicken a la vodka, chicken parm. Mm. You know, I mean, every night was just, I'm just going to, you know, enjoy this. And brought Perry Sack up on Saturday night to a guest spot. So he came out, did a good job. Could probably get some work from that place now.
Food is great, though.
And it's funny because Perry comes up, and I guess I thought I had told him, maybe I didn't, but Vasani's, you got to work clean. Hmm. Pretty clean. PG-14, you can't just say the F-bomb. And although in one of the shows I did, but it was more like, I was breathing in when I said it. I don't think anybody heard it.
That doesn't count if you're breathing in.
No, if you're breathing in, it's like
if you're not using it as a punchline. You're right.
It's not like I'm It's not like I'm inhaling. I'm like I was like the Bill Clinton of dropping the F-bomb. Yeah, I said it, but I was inhaling at the time. Unlike inhaling. Now I have a degree in finance, Craig, and I have two black belt diplomas and a diploma of dealing with hoople heads. So. Any rate, so that's over. Hey, by the way, now I got to watch the fight. The owner of Vasani's had the fight on Saturday night. Did you guys watch it?
I watched it.
You saw the fight?
It. Yeah.
You know, let's sum it up in this way. It's obvious, and I never had a question that Mayweather was going to win.
Right.
The odds, he has to win. It's a boxing match, not an MMA match. So all the rules favor him. It's his expertise. He's got to win it. And I think he had a great game plan. He came out. He didn't do shit for the first two or three rounds. McGregor won the first three rounds easily because, for all intents and purposes, Mayweather wasn't really fighting. He was just trying not to get hit. And people were getting impressed. They thought, wow, you know, McGregor's doing a good job. He's got a nice jab. He's being a little unorthodox, right? He's fighting in different angles and catching him. But at the same time, you knew it was only a matter of time before. Because Grant McGregor was moving his feet to get out of the way. He was like, you know, he was being evasive a little bit. But he's never fought a 12-round fight.
Right.
So when it came down to the eight, when it got to like the seventh, eighth round, you could tell he was starting to get a little, couldn't get out of the way as much. And that's when the genius being Mayweather started like unloading on him. Although it was an early stoppage.
I believe it was early stoppage.
Now,
let him hit the ground. He said a lot of bad words.
Yeah. Let him get fucked up and hit the ground.
Sorry. He knew what he was going to do. He got involved in it knowing that if he got knocked out, there could be repercussions.
Wasn't that always Ali's strategy, though? To lay back and let the other guy tire himself out and then
pretty
knock
much.
Him out like in the 10th or 11th or 12th
Rope-a-dope
round.
Or whatever.
Yeah, they thought he had the better endurance. And as a heavyweight, Muhammad Ali wasn't the strongest of the fighters most of the time. He was the fastest. He was faster and more cagey. But he knew, like in my Muay Thai kickboxing matches, everybody I fought was 50 pounds heavier or 4 inches taller. Hmm. And, you know, so I knew I wasn't going to come out and load. I wasn't going to start unloading on people. I was a counter fighter the first round. Like, first round I came out and countered.
Out.
I countered. Let them come in, take their shots. Because it's very frustrating if somebody punches you real hard. You know, and they're giving, you can hear them groaning and shit. And then you look up and you're like smiling at them. You know, that gets in their psyche a little bit. And then they try harder. And then by the second round, they're a little gassed.
Yep.
Right? They don't have as much energy. So,
What happened to McGregor. I mean,
yeah, he ran out of gas. And that's when Mayweather said, this is a good time for me to start opening up so I don't get knocked out myself.
And at the post-fight press conference, you know, Mayweather said, we knew after 25 minutes he wasn't going to have what it took.
Right.
You know, so we waited the 25 minutes, and I've never seen someone block everything like this in my life.
That was
so impressive. Unbelievable.
Mayweather, and McGregor has a hard time putting his hands up. You know it's going to be a problem when he has, you know. If you're an MMA fighter and you use more than your hands, you're not going to fight. Like boxers, if you're only using your hands, you keep your hands up. But when you're an MMA fighter, you got to worry about kicks, you got to worry about throws, so you're going to have your hands a little out there, a little further out there. So he was only fighting his...
Just different style.
Different style. But you got to give it to him because he did make it a fight. For a guy who's never fought a professional boxing match...
Pretty... you know, who knows? Now they're saying that it was fixed, and who cares if it was fixed? Did you watch it? Did you pay for it? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I didn't pay for it. I mean, I donated $5 to the cause, and I brought a 12-pack of Stellas to the party. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. That's nice, right?
That's nice.
And then I'm Mr. Good Guy. It was pouring like we were in Texas. We got to the house, and then Perry shows up with his girl, and then, you know, I have an umbrella, and they don't have an umbrella, so I thought, okay, I'm going to go out to the car and escort his girl in. That's a gentleman thing.
Very nice.
Right? That's a nice guy
thing.
You can't
do better than that.
And of course, I got fucking drenched because I'm putting the thing over her, and my fat ass is sticking out the back part of the umbrella.
But you get the gentleman credit for doing
that. Yeah, I did. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Chevrolet, you know, exists.
Yeah, I wonder if she went to Perry that night. You know, Doug's really nice, not like you. It's always a good thing when you get credit like that. Next thing you know, your buddy thinks you're banging his girlfriend. So I enjoyed the fight. I would have liked to have seen it. Like you said, it was an early stoppage.
Definitive because
the two or three punches that happened just before the stoppage didn't even land. I mean, McGregor was pretty exhausted. You could tell it was a matter of time. You know,
he was backing up a little bit, and that did hit him, he did go back to the rope, but...
And he's an MMA fighter, though. He's known to, you know what I mean? But you know what? To me, you never know. We can say this. Who knows? The next punch could have landed right on the cranium, and then next, you know, Colin McGregor's like, the rest of his life.
Wow. I'm not making fun of him, but he was kind of inaudible with some of those things he said.
At the end of the fight?
What was the Mexican...
What's that?
I made him look like a Mexican. I was like,
what?
Where did that come from, Connor? I don't understand. That's what he said.
I made him look like a Mexican.
First thing he said when he got the interview after. He goes, yeah, finally made the guy look like a Mexican. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, we went there already.
Yeah.
Why?
Even Trump was like, why did you have to bring that up?
You couldn't just call him rapists and murderers. You had to say.
Yeah, well. I don't know. Now you like the fights. I mean, I love the, now. Well, boxing. You know, there were questions, people saying, "Well, is boxing dying?"
Yes,
I did catch. But, by the way, a real fight was on Twitter between Dana White and the Golden Boy,
De La Hoya.
They were back and forth, and they were saying shit back and forth on, like they were calling him a cokehead and stuff, De La Hoya.
Wow.
And.
I mean, think about it. There were so many controversies that happened in the late 90s, early 2000s with Camacho and a bunch of other things that happened with the Mexican fighters. Making everything think it was fixed. You know what I mean? The cartel had their hand things.
Right.
So what are you going to do? Well, watch the fight and just not
Mexican
talk.
Fighters have a great reputation of being able to take a punch. They're tough bastards. And if you live in Mexico, you got to be tough. Right, it's like the old, like the old Rocky. If you live in Philadelphia, in the hard streets of Philadelphia, and you got no way out, then you're going to be a tough fighter, right? I mean, that's you can't have air conditioning in your car and electric windows and be a good fighter.
I mean, they built
you can't
built
have cable. Fight. You can't have HD cable and be a good fighter.
Pretty much.
You can't. I mean, when I was fighting, I would purposely turn off the air. My wife would be pissed. Like, what are you doing? I go, fuck! I got to get the eye of the tiger. I got no air for the next 3 months.
Yep.
It helps.
You got to put your body through the strain.
Jennifer Chase on Facebook Live says, it was a good fight. Connor is used to going down on the mat. He may not have gotten up. Perry Sachs said one of the bets from Vegas was if he was going to throw a kick.
Yeah, well.
And like lose it. And like he was hitting him on the head with those illegal heads. The first two or three rounds, he's like, yeah, he hammer fisted him a few times. I'm surprised he didn't get a
warning. I got to say, though, I thought that when the referee at the beginning was giving them the rules.
Right.
He was just staring right at Connor.
Oh, yeah, he didn't
Connor,
look at, yeah, yeah.
Just staring right at Connor going, listen, we're watching you, and we don't care what
he didn't
he
even
does.
Look at, he didn't even glance over.
He you gave, know. Actually, he did. Right after he stopped talking, he gave him a hug. Yeah. He gave Mayweather a hug and said, good luck.
And he handed him like a 20, go, here you go. I gave.
I'm not saying that the referee sucked, but he wasn't good.
No, and you're right. A lot of us noticed it when we were watching the fight that night. That the referee was just looking at, I want a fair fight. I don't want any, you know, this and that. He's looking right at Connor, and, you know, I mean. But I mean, Mayweather's got 50 pro fights,
and he is an absolute professional.
Yeah, he's never been dirty, right? You never seen him really do dirty.
That fight. Oh my God! How many elbows were you going to throw, Mayweather, and then say that he was throwing?
Oh, he was throwing his forearms in his face and stuff a little bit too.
He headbutted him once, and then there was this one move that I laughed so hard. I think he hit him in the back, like Dirty Boxing, when Connor was hugging him.
Yeah.
There was like three or four times where the referee was all over Connor going, don't hit him, don't hit him, break, break. And Mayweather jabbed him once or twice.
Threw a little cheap shot. I told everybody when my last fight, my last Muay Thai kickboxing match, my opponent knew I had a bruised rib from when I was fighting, because in training I took a knee to the rib. So I had a bruised rib. So the guy knew that, you know, I had a bruised rib. So when you touch gloves before the fight, he threw a hook right in my left, right in my rib. And I was like, oh, and I milked it. You know, I'm like, oh, and he got deducted a point. But then I kicked his ass for three rounds. So
did you put that that tape around it? Like,
No, I'm not a pussy. What are you talking about? I mean, I was, and I had that. Nothing. You ever have a cracked rib? You ever bruised rib?
Never.
Painful. Painful as shit, because every time you sneeze, laugh.
Breathe.
You know, taking it hurts.
I have a friend who's had that happen to her a few times.
And yeah?
I've heard from her how bad it is.
Did you mess her up? Was it you who gave her...
No, I just did my best to stop it from healing too quickly.
Yeah. Come on, honey. Yeah. Stop thinking of yourself.
There you go.
It's time to have sex.
Exactly.
That's the way it goes.
That's my point.
Speaking of time to have sex, let's hear it for our Game of Thrones finale.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you guys are Game of Thrones fans, but I watched the end and... No, I won't do any spoilers. I won't say anything. But man, it was great. Now you got to wait. What, till May?
That's what they said.
When's it going to be?
They said a while.
Oh, it was only seven shows. There's only seven episodes. Usually there's like 12 or 8 in a series or season.
Not when they can milk it as hard as they're milking that.
No, but that's it. They got less.
Yeah, well,
they got less shows.
It. You know what I mean? They're milking your time and your anticipation.
But that's not fair, man. That's not right. Look, I don't want, you know what I mean? I wanted, like, although last night, Game of Thrones finale was longer than an hour. I think it was an hour and a half or something. But, man, it gets, fuck. Hey, listen, if you, I may say something. So if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you haven't seen it yet, go put on All in the Family or something. But, you know, it was badass. I mean, it was badass. Like, the dead king. Right, our dead army king, whatever. He's got the dragon now that died. He killed it with that javelin throw. Now he's flying on it, and it's blowing like blue fire. You know what I mean? Like, you know, from a torch, it's blue. Like a torch is blue. And people are like, that can't be. It's hotter than a regular fire, right? When it's blue, it's hotter.
Right.
So now you wonder if the regular dragon fights the dead dragon, is he going to have an advantage? Because he's got blue, at least it'll be easier to determine who's the good guy, because you got red fire on one side and blue fire on the other.
In that kind of a fight, who wins? You're going to fight to the what? To the life? Because one's
dead. He's dead already.
That's the thing.
Well, here's the thing. You know that the dragon glass is what can kill the dead walkers, right? Okay. They mined all this dragon glass because somebody stabbed a dead walker or the zombies. And you don't watch, obviously, by your facial expressions, you don't want Lord of the or Game of Thrones.
I'm 0-2 in topics today so far.
I saw that.
I should have sent you a cheat sheet before the show.
Oh, man.
What are we going to be talking about? Everything you don't know anything about.
Google it.
Note to self, Google major it. Fight before you do the Dougie Show. Watch the fight.
Yeah. Speaking of that, somebody on Facebook posted something, and it was basically a police officer arresting this young drunk kid who was publicly intoxicated, drinking. He looked like Mike. He actually looked a little bit like Mike Cintron. He did. He just looked like a little bit like Mike Cintron. And all these people were just berating the cop. Because when the cop was trying to grab the guy and he was drinking and he put the stuff and he's trying to get the guy, put his hands. The guy wasn't really resisting or fighting. He was fucking wasted standing on it. And the cop was like grabbing him. And, you know, the typical move when you're trying to get the guy to get down, you know, and then you sweep the leg, kind of kick the leg out of the way and get the guy to the ground. Well, he swept the drunk-ass guy's leg, and the guy's head and skull just hit the pavement.
Ooh.
Now, everybody is like, oh, my God, the cop should be fired, blah, blah, blah. No one gives a shit. Who would have known if this cop maybe saved somebody's life from a burning building the day before?
Right.
You know what I mean? If somebody was, they're talking about this guy, Joe, who Trump pardoned, you know, Sheriff Joe.
Joe Arpaio.
Right? Now, I don't know enough about this guy. I heard both. You got to hear this story. I get on, it's after the show, and I'm in Visani's. I go to the back of the hotel, and I'm waiting, and I'm downstairs, about to get on the elevator. This nice black man, look, maybe in his lead 40s, was getting all this, I guess, extra sheets for the room. And I get on the elevator together, And, you know, I'm small talk a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God, because that's when the hurricane was about to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Friday. I think it must have been Friday. And I go, wow, this storm, because it went from a category one to category three or four, like out of nowhere. I'm like, man, this storm just amazing. This storm, he goes, yeah, this stupid-ass Trump just let this racist guy pardon him. I go, well, I'm a little more concerned with the hundreds of thousands of fucking people in Texas right now, my friend. I'm not really concerned about some 85-year-old fucking sheriff. You know what I mean? Like, you know, trying to, you know, like, isn't that rude? Like, I'm concerned about a whole state.
Right.
Right. I'm sympathizing with the people in Texas, and this guy's going to come up at this point, make a political comment about he hates Trump. I get it. But, you know, that's fine. But then, you know, he's more concerned about this guy being pardoned.
What about the people that said, good for the people in Texas, finally all those redneck Trump racists?
Some people said that?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, really? Wow. That's how far you split to where you can't even be a human anymore? That doesn't make any sense.
Adam Hayes says if most people stop acting like assholes, the cops wouldn't be such. Now, here's what I'm going to say, and I posted on this thing because I'm always going to defend the cop, because until you spend every day of your life protecting and serving the public's interests
and going through that,
and some bunch of Facebook little fucking numbnuts are going to make comments about that. You know, I trained cops. I trained them on the PR-24s. I used to train them hand-to-hand combat. Hmm. You know, I was teaching them how to use the PR-24 instead of hitting people on the head, learning how to use it to subdue people and use it more as a restrictive type product as opposed to just knocking them on the head. Hmm. And this one girl goes, oh, what do you know about this? You know, and all, like, where the fuck you stand for? I felt like saying, bitch, who the fuck do you, like, what's the last... You know, you blew a cop probably. That's the only thing you've ever had, you know, any type of relationship with a cop. So I said, well, I used to train this and that, and I used to train under Joe Hess. And, so I worked with the cops through that system. Now, this guy, the guy who puts the post up, and he's actually got interesting posts, he goes, listen, I just text Joe Hess, and he says, yeah, he says, he remembers you, but he says that you got fired. Why'd you get fired? Now, here's the interesting. Ooh. I thought Joe Hess died.
Okay.
I thought he passed away, so I thought the guy was full of shit. But I said, well, you can't get fired from a volunteer job, by the way. Just want to let you know. So it was just interesting that all these people are bad-mouthing the cop. Like, yeah, and listen, he could have done it. He could have been a little more careful. But sometimes shit happens when you're in police force. And you can't ever, nothing, like even your day at work. Like even in your regular day at work, you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe you go to staple something. You know, you do it a little too hard and you put a dent in the table. You could say, oh, I shouldn't have done that way. I should have been a little more careful. Things happen. When you're dealing as a cop, when you're dealing with this kind of shit, you're going to make minor mistakes. And everybody kept saying, oh, the guy's fucked up. I said, the kid's probably fine. Because everybody knows when you're wasted drunk, you don't feel anything.
For the most part.
And you probably survive it much better.
Listen, whoever said Hayes said it best. Stop acting like an asshole and the cop might calm down.
Well,
like, I get we have rights, I get these things, but at one point, if you are talking to an officer, you should probably just think in the back of your head, well, I don't have any rights for a little while. A little while, I better just listen to what this guy says, only because he has a stupid uniform on.
This same person on Facebook posted a video of a young black man, I guess he plays football or something, college or something, but he came out and said, it's all bullshit that that black people go through this shit. You know, we all have the same ability to do whatever. I mean, I'm not, I think black guys, you know, black people somebody look at them, the cops will, you know, take it, you know, maybe obviously more than a white person, but it definitely doesn't help when you start questioning, you know, anybody who questions a cop, why'd you pull me over? What the fuck? I'm like, you don't do that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? If somebody, it's strictly, something goes wrong, you get the guy's badge number, you report it, you know, you wait till you live another day, and then you deal with it then. Don't get into a confrontation with a person with a gun. That's, you know what I mean? Like, to me, it's always stupid. Because everything after this Michael Brown thing happened, there was so many, you saw these videos of young black men getting pulled over, now becoming lawyers at the scene of the crime. You're like, that's just not, that doesn't do anybody any good. You know what I mean? And you're right, there are bad cops, like there's bad plumbers. Right, like every profession has bad people in it, and like Adam said, when you have to deal with all this riffraff and scumbags out there, it's hard not to get a little tainted. You know what I mean? It's hard not to deal with, you know, eventually if you deal with a bunch of scumbags, you know what I mean? You're gonna punch somebody around a little bit.
Well, cops are humans too, and they have emotions, and they have different stresses and anxieties, and you know.
Could you imagine waking up every day having to protect, like, you're where your life can just end because some asshole just wants to rob
down the wrong street?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Are
you, you're breaking up a domestic dispute, and you're beating the shit out of the wife, and you try to save the wife, and then you pull off the guy, and you're handcuffed, and then the wife stabs you because, don't take my husband away. He just pummeled you for 5 minutes. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Ciro Dobrik.
Hey there, guys.
John Greenberg. Hey. And we'll come back right after this with Straight from the Headlines. Join us, won't you?
This is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. If you're not, you're probably sleeping, you lazy fucks.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. That's right. There's plenty there. Like my dog crying in the background. Cheerleaders are forced into painful splits. You see this story last week?
I did not.
Now, you've been a
I didn't know they reported that.
It's to me, it's funny because, like, in karate class, so, yeah, they have these machines you put in and stuff, and sometimes your instructor, when you're trying to get down, he'll, like, sit on your back or push you down. But in this video, these poor girls go to a cheerleading camp, and supposedly the guy who runs it was supposedly a big-time NCAA cheerleader. Right. It turns out that he lied, so that's one of the things that's bad on this guy's thing.
Wow.
But there's this video, it's out of Colorado, they all go to this cheerleading camp, and these girls are trying to do splits, and they're taking there's like the guy and all these other people in the class is holding the girls, pulling their legs, and this girl's like, they're screaming, and they're crying and everything, and they keep, you got to do this. If you want to be a cheerleader, you got to be doing splits. And it's like, and now here's the thing, though. The kids today are pussies. They really are, right?
Weak.
Kids today, like, they're mommy, they're pampered to death. So the minute they have a little pain, you know what I mean? They could be a little over-exaggerative. Like, when I used to coach soccer, I was a goalkeeper coach. So one time I went out to Coral Springs. My buddy says, hey, I want you to work with the goalkeepers in the traveling league. So there's girls like 12 to 16, like four girls training. So I put them through goalkeeper drills. And, you know, the field wasn't the best field in the world. So we were doing certain drills. They're coming out sliding. They're getting their legs. You slide on shitty grass, you're going to get
raspberries.
You're going to get raspberries and stuff. One of the mothers complained. Like, what? I'm like, what the fuck? Listen, if you don't want the kid to be a goalkeeper, number one, buy long pants. Okay? And whenever I went to training, I wore long pants to train, unless it was a nice field. Right? But the mother complained because the girl got scabs on her pretty legs. You believe this shit?
Yeah, well.
And the guy who hired me, he defended me, was like, what did you want him to do? You know? I mean, we tried to go to a nice patch of grass and stuff, but, but the mom got mad because her daughter got her leg scratched.
Mm-hmm.
Disturbing video out of Colorado that appears to show girls being forced into painful positions. Ciro knows what that's like. At a cheerleading camp are continuing to spur outrage. And now police are getting involved in this situation. Girl starts crying. She's like, I can't do it, you know?
It's kind of weird that you go to cheerleading camp and you don't know how to do a split yet, anyway.
You should, right?
By the time you're going, when you're that involved in it, you should know what you're doing.
What's next? They're going to complain about the weight of the pom-poms?
Well,
hey, the kid, color, these pom-poms are so heavy.
They're definitely the color of the pom-poms.
But they're splitting the legs. You know, and it's really bad if the coach was sitting there in between, you know.
Exactly.
With his face implanted in her crotch. That would be bad.
I can't imagine guys being cheerleading coaches at cheer camp. Things that doesn't make that doesn't seem like that should
guy
happen.
Coaches that doesn't make sense
that shouldn't
might apply but I agree.
Well, yeah, I would love the job but I don't think that it's supposed to happen that way. It's just like when a cop frisks a female suspect.
And guys, we did reach Coach Williams. He referred us to his lawyer.
Right.
It's fine. I want to try to get this girl screaming because it's nice. It's fun to listen to. Yeah. So I'm sure the guys. So that's the thing. You don't want to do anything with kids nowadays. You know, you just don't want to do anything with kids because that's what happens. You start fucking around with the kids. The parents complain. Like, I wouldn't want to coach. So I stopped coaching soccer. You know, one time I'm coaching the kids, like, how come my kid isn't playing the whole game? I said, because he sucks. He's horrible.
You let him know honestly?
Yeah. The kid sucks. He's horrible. He in practice, he had a horrible attitude. He doesn't pay attention. He wouldn't do any of the drills. Oh, well, not everybody's a great player. Fuck being a great player. He's just a schmuck. Right. The kid's an asshole.
He's a bad kid.
I told the parent he's an asshole. Well, oh, you call my kid an asshole? Yeah, he's an asshole. I wonder where he gets that from. Oddly enough, I didn't coach in Deerfield anymore.
That was my last coach.
I used to hate that. I used to yell at the ref. One time I yelled at the referee. I go, just because you have an accent doesn't mean you know shit about the game. He was like Bulgarian or something. He was a dumbass. And then, of course, because I was vocal, he would call calls against my team.
Oh, yeah.
Schmuck. Just saying.
There was a red card with your name on it.
Here's an interesting story last week. Man charged after car pulls into St. Louis rally, hurting three people. Supposedly there was a rally for a transgender woman who stabbed somebody. She actually got into a fight and stabbed somebody, and she went to jail. Now everybody's backing her up, or him or her, whatever.
Right.
And so they had a little protest. People love fucking protesting nowadays. So they protest, and some guy in a Mercedes is trying to go home or wherever hell he's going, get his cocaine, who knows. And he's trying to, people, protesters, and the guy's like, fuck this. He drives through the crowd, and two or three people get hurt. I'm of the belief, if I'm driving and you're in the street in my fucking way, and here's the thing, as he was trying to get through, people banging on his car, that's fucked up right there. You don't touch my car. If you touch my car, guess what? My car is going to touch you. Right?
Yeah. Bottom line, I don't condone what people do with their cars if, say, like a Charlottesville thing happened. I don't condone that. That's not right at all. You shouldn't even be in your car at that point. Everybody should be walking around, right?
Right. Well, that's different. The guy, when that guy just rammed through people to kill him, yeah, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, but did you see what happened before he pushed the gas? I mean, they hit his car, too. You know, they hit it with a bat from behind. They did all these things. It doesn't matter. That situation should never have happened in the first place.
Yeah.
That is a police and governor problem that happened there.
Oh, that was a major fuck up. The police should have let these two people get together. St. Louis, a man was charged Thursday after authorities said he pulled his car into a group of demonstrators protesting a police shooting in St. Louis, and he injured three people. Mark Kaleo, 59, faces felony count of resisting arrest by fleeing and misdemeanor charges of leaving the scene of an accident and operating a vehicle in a careless and imprudent manner. I never got ticketed for that. It's not clear what his attorney's going to do, but police said three people suffered minor injuries on Wednesday night during a candlelight vigil and protest in honor of Kenny Kiwi Herring, who was fatally shot by officers on Tuesday after allegedly stabbing one of them. Now, if you stab a fucking cop and you get shot,
you
going to complain?
I don't know how you could.
Supposedly, as I read the story, the transgender person was with her boyfriend or whatever, or her mate, and somebody was complaining. One of the neighbors was complaining, and the transgender, not being of sound mind, went to the neighbors, got an argument, and even stabbed the neighbor.
Okay.
So the police show up. The police get stabbed. The transgender gets shot. What the fuck are you protesting?
Seems like exactly what should have happened.
Are we trying to say that transgenders can go out and just cut people up anytime they fucking want? Why? We have to accept that imbalance in their thought pattern? Oh, you got to feel bad for these folks.
Yet they can keep it in control and go into combat and be on the right side. We don't know. The studies are still out on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my opinion.
There's big talk about them in the military.
Right.
Like people ask me, I'm like, look, if you want to serve, you can serve. But here's the thing.
It's the old Bill Hicks joke. Anyone dumb enough to want to be in the military?
Go ahead. Let them fucking be in it.
Go ahead.
I don't care about it. But here's the thing. I guess the big question is because of the reassignment surgery. They're coming in to get that done, which is that's where Trump's like, fuck that shit. So to me, it's almost in a similar relationship with this Kaepernick story. Like, does people have the right to take a knee during the national anthem? And here's my thing. People could do whatever the fuck they want, but then you also have to deal with the circumstances that come from it, the consequences of it. And was Kaepernick blacklisted by the NFL? No, he's just a shitty quarterback. I put on Twitter the other day, I said, Kaepernick sent a letter to the NFL complaining, but the letter got intercepted. That's how bad of a quarterback he is. But so here's the thing. If we're on a team, right, there's, I don't know how many people on a football team, 30 people, 40 people maybe on the football 60. Team. And, you know, if one person's doing this, it can kind of distract the team. So I love the guy from the fucking Dallas Cowboys says, any of you motherfuckers want to take a knee, you're off the team.
Bottom line.
Right? That's it. Jerry Jones says, you're out. This is America's team. You're not going to stand for the national anthem. Go play for the fucking Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Go play with the Atlanta Falcons if you want. Hmm. But you can't play on this team if you take a knee. You care about that? You know? Does that matter?
Does it matter what?
Like if somebody takes a knee. Like we were talking about on the show last week, Peter Leonard said, you ever been at a football game or a sporting event where you're standing up for the national anthem and somebody next to you isn't? Those people get shit.
Yes,
I've been at a game and it's like, hey, stand up, fucker. What are you doing?
You don't got to respect it. Just stand up.
Yeah. What makes you any special? Oh, I'm not from the... We had a kid in our school one time when you said in the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning, he wouldn't get up. He's like, I'm not from here. I'm like, well, bitch, you are here. You want to go back to Guatemala?
This is part of the reason you came here, because we do this every morning.
Right. Be part of us.
So you know, with the Kaepernick thing, I do a bit about it. I'm like, listen, if you want to play for the Extended Crybabies Football League, go for it. Do whatever you got to do. But if you're going to play national football on national freaking TV, you should probably just stand up for the national anthem. And
here's the thing. If you want to make a protest, do something. Donate money to the NAACP. Donate money for the Boys Club. Hey, he does all that. Do you know, go out and mentor kids and stuff like that. You know, sitting, it's not putting, you know, you're using your position to make this stance. And here's the problem. Football's got a big issue. There's a lot of kids that aren't being signed up for football anymore. Yep. Because of the brain, all the shit that's coming out. Hmm. Football may be on the decline. Like, I can tell you, if more of this shit happens, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to sit there. Like, I was watching, game on this weekend, and the announcer goes, okay, this is where we got to show the fucking guy who doesn't want to stand up. He was like, hey, we got to pay attention to this because we have to. But you could tell he's like, this is stupid. You know what I mean? Like, why the fuck? Hmm.
Listen, it's a great protest. Wrong day to do it.
Yeah.
And wrong place to do it.
You want
on Monday after you're done playing football, yeah. Go out on a national press conference because you have that platform to do it and make a point.
That's right. Wear a hat with American flag with a no on it.
Wearing Castro and Che Guevara shirts and going to Cuba with a moron.
That's, yeah, who was the guy who did that?
It
was
Kaepernick.
It's Kaepernick, yeah.
What a moron.
Yeah, he's fucking... Here's a story. Fired female PR firm worker claims employer limited her toilet paper use in discrimination lawsuit. Are we running out of toilet paper?
I think.
Let me ask you a question. When you use toilet paper, how much toilet paper do you use?
If they're cutting those little sections, four sections, fold over and then fold.
So you're about four. Like I used to do, like depending on where the toilet roll is, I'd have it roll down just before it touched the ground and I rip it.
Okay.
But now I'm trying to be more conservative. Six. So I'm doing like three or four and then I'm cutting it and then, like you said, folding it.
Folding it and refolding
it. Yeah. Similar?
I guess. It's not something I'm terribly conscious
of. Are you
of.
Consistent with the way you use toilet paper?
I think I am.
Right? You don't like use a bunch, then use a little and then.
I'm not wasteful with my toilet paper.
Right. I'm concerned about my toilet paper.
Sure.
I want to make sure I don't use as much.
You know, if we are running out of toilet paper, people that are not very smart are going to blame it on Trump not going into the TPP. You know that.
Yeah, right? they're going to blame it on that. Brooklyn publicist claims she was flushed out of a boutique PR firm after complaining about crappy bathroom policy that restricted the amount of toilet paper she could use. Well, you know it's bad when you work for a company that's restricting the amount of toilet. You know that you better not be asking for a 401k, or a profit sharing plan if you're worried about the toilet paper. Tracy Bodine, 50 years old, says in a new lawsuit that potty mouth honchos at Wise Public Relations on Bleecker Street endlessly mocked her for using toilet paper every time she went to the bathroom.
Was it Bodine with a D or Bovine with a V?
Bodine. Bodine. Quote, you just somehow don't feel like a valued human being when you're limited on your toilet paper use. I would quit a job if they told worried about how much toll I pay. How do they know? How do they know that she's using toilet paper? Like women, when they go to the, women should use toilet paper every time they go to the bathroom, right? When a woman pees, they wipe. When you pee, do you wipe your penis with a fucking toilet paper?
No, sir.
No? You, no. John? You look like the kind of guy who would give you a little clean to your head.
I've done it.
You've done it? Like, yeah, if I got a little drip, I'll take it.
Why not?
You know, if I know I'm about to get a little oral action to my wife, I'll make sure I clean it out.
Not only that, but before you actually pull your pants up after you're peeing, a little drop could fall on the floor, and I'd rather that not happen.
Right.
Okay?
You don't want to, like look.
I'm a sanitary person.
Environmentally conscientious.
Then you got to bend over and, like, touch your toe, and right? Do you put the seat up every time?
No.
Nah,
no,
see,
but
I do.
If I pee on the seat, I wipe it.
See, I
very thoughtful.
See, I don't want to have to wipe.
I know.
Because if I pee on the bowl after lifting the seat, then I just put the seat down and go, whatever.
Right, that's...
I'm not going to worry about it, especially if it's a public restroom. I grab toilet paper, lift the seat, pee, and then I put it back down.
Problem is lifting the seat. Maybe someone peed on it and didn't wipe it off.
Well, but you can grab a piece of toilet paper first and lift the seat with the toilet paper.
See, now I'm using a lot of toilet paper, and somebody's going to be pissed at my job.
Yeah. I don't care about that.
Right? I mean, this is stupid.
Got to ask the dude from the office, the paper company guy.
Hmm.
Is this a problem if we use this much paper product?
In her suit filed in Manhattan Supreme Court, Bodine claims that she was teased about her need to use the bathroom, and in particular, her need as a woman to use toilet paper more frequently when she did use the restroom. Her bosses, the suits add, went so far to impose a limit on how much toilet paper Mrs. Bodine could use. Now, I'm wondering if the guy walked into the bathroom after and counted each sheet. Like, well, okay, the roll looks a little thinner.
Well, yeah. How do they know?
Yeah,
is there a camera in there?
That's great.
Maybe they have their own personal rolls, and
they have a counter on the roll.
Could be.
I get mad.
There's
this one older woman.
That's what I'm saying.
There's this one older woman at the gym, and every fucking machine she goes to the, because like what I'll do is I did cardio today, right? So I the first thing I do is the treadmill. So I get three. I pull three sheets of paper towel, and I put the disinfectant shit on there, got it up, and then I clean all the handrails and everything on that I'm going to be touching, and that's it. And when I'm done, I wipe it down with the same thing. Go to another machine, I get another three pieces of paper. Now, this woman would grab like 8 or 10 fucking paper, like, and put all this shit on there and wipe it down, right? And then she
before she works out.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And then she'll go to another machine, get all new paper. I mean, she's already grabbing like a book of paper, you know what I mean? And she, and mm-hmm. like, and I walk by her and I give her that stink eye look, like, stop wasting all this paper.
Now that woman, if I hired her, I'd limit the amount of toilet paper she could use because you know she's wasting it.
She's just, right. That woman, you got a reason to run this, right? At least you know. Shit, there's trees.
Probable cause.
When this woman walks by fucking forest, trees fall down.
Huh.
So much she's using. At any rate, so listen, if you're working for a company that's worried about how much toilet paper you're using, I would say move on to a better firm.
Yeah.
Speaking of turd, San Francisco dog owners lay minefields of poo for a right-wing rally. In San Francisco, there was a freedom of speech right-wing rally was mm-hmm. going to speak in this park, and all these dog owners went out there and grabbed all this shit and put it all over where they're going to be walking. Now, here's the thing. Isn't that littering? Because when your dog poops, you're supposed to pick it up.
Well, that's against the law.
So if you,
and especially in San Francisco, I think, the most unliberal place of liberality in the world.
I got my stepdaughter got a ticket one time because the Coral Springs police officer like caught her like letting the dog poop and not pick it up. So she came back and they wrote a $150 ticket.
Mm.
I'm like, well, that's like $25 per log. You know what I mean?
Seems reasonable right there.
Well, that's not cool. Actually, the mayor at the time, I knew him because I know people. I called his office and go, hey, we got a $150 ticket from this officer for not picking up my dog's poop. And I've walked my dogs. I never pick up the poop. And they're like, well, that could cause a problem with the water system, the poop. I'm like, yeah, what about all the raccoons that are shitting all over the place? What about all the possums squirrels that are shitting all over the place?
Yeah,
the
you give them tickets?
Yeah, I got to go pick up their shit too now? This is the stupidest thing in the world. And I thought poop was fertilizer. You know what I mean?
Biodegradable.
It's like in the Soundgarden show, the shit, the dog, the grass is always greener, the dogs are shitting, right?
Usually.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't know if my neighbor's listening. Probably not. But my neighbor's got this big-ass dog, and they have a dog walker. They have some guy. Actually, I see the same guy in the gym. He comes and takes their big ass dog for a walk. But this morning, I go out. I'm walking out my house, and right in front of my gate, in my yard, huge mound of fucking horse shit. I mean, this dog's a big dog, and it's right in front of my gate. And I'm like, this fucking guy lets his dog shit. And he had the dog's on a leash. It's not like the dog's loose. Like sometimes my little dog
have to walk him there.
Sometimes my dog will get out and he'll go roaming around, and it's a little dog. He shits. It shits in the grass. It goes through the grass. You can barely see it. This dog shits. It looks like fucking lawn chair on the fucking. So this guy takes it out of leash and it's shit in front of my fence, right in my front of my gate, and he didn't pick it up. So guess what I did today? Dried up, went out there and started throwing the shit in his yard.
Perfect.
I didn't pick it up. I just fucking threw it in his yard. All right?
Did you use toilet paper to throw it? Or
yes. Yeah. No, I actually used my my Men's Warehouse bag that I had from yesterday. I had to buy some new socks.
Nice.
Real men. Yeah. Throw poop back.
It was dry, too. It was like, you know, I could have used my hands and then washed, but I'm a little OCD.
I wouldn't have done that.
No, then you never know what that can lead to.
No.
Next thing you know, I forget. I pick my
what
face.
What if he walked out with it in your hand and you stopped because you got nerves? Right.
If I would have crumbled it up, it would have. Yeah. And that, first of all, the guy's not big. I wouldn't have got nervous.
I would have shook his hand right away.
I would have came. So I would have, with a shit in my hand, I'd go, hey, by the way, did you see what your dog left? When a group of far-right activists come to San Francisco to hold a rally this Saturday, they will be met with peace activists offering them flowers to wear in their hair. Also, dog shit. Lots of it. Hundreds of San Francisco plan to prepare Chrissy Field, the picturesque beach in the shadow of the Golden Gate Bridge, where the right-wing protest group Patriot Prayer will gather.
Ooh, right.
By the way, isn't that the one that canceled?
I believe they canceled. They canceled. And then what happened? Does anybody want to talk about what happened at Berkeley after the right-wing rally canceled?
What happened?
Antifa beat up everybody that wasn't Antifa with a mask on.
Yeah, they attacked people.
Yeah. I wonder who was wrong in that situation. Were there any good people on the Antifa side? There must have been some good people in there, right?
They're nice people. Come on.
Jerk-offs. He said exactly what needed to be said. Everybody's wrong. Stop hitting each other.
That's what he should have said, by the way. He should have said many sides. He should have said, look, the alt-right, the neo-Nazis were wrong, and the Antifa were wrong. Mm-hmm. There was confrontation based on those two sides. So that's why, if it would have made a difference, people still would have been pissed at him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't condemn the neo-Nazis. They that's all they wanted to hear. Because he's in with the Russians and with them.
I know. Which one is he? I can't believe it. He's Russian. He's a Nazi.
Didn't the Russians kick the Germans' ass to help us in World War II?
I believe so.
So I don't know if he could be both. Hundreds of thousands of people have signed. By the way, Donald Trump. Hundreds of thousands urged Donald Trump to label anti-fascist terrorists in White House petition.
Please.
Over 500,000, over 500,000 signatures are on this now. Hundreds of thousands of people have signed a petition calling on Donald Trump to formally recognize anti-fascists as terrorists. I can tell you this security group that want to bring me back into the fold. There are people that there's establishments and places that want to hire groups to do that. They want to hire groups to. Is it time to read the memo on the show? You know that they want to bring out. Groups like us, like let's say groups of 10 to 15 against hundreds
to keep,
because that's all we need. We all, you know, right. That's all we need. 10 of us can take down, you know, 150-pound Antifa guy with a mask on his face
every time.
The petition on the White House website urges the federal government to declare Antifa as a terror group out of the principle, integrity, morality, and safety clauses. Antifa, shorthand of anti-fascist organizations, refers to a loose coalition of decentralized grassroots groups opposed of the many guises of fascism.
Well, you know, if I was against fascism and I was like so against it that I wanted to protest, I would definitely show my face to the world that I'm protesting, that me, I'm an anti-fascist right here. I wouldn't cover my face. Right. I wouldn't bring a bike lock. I wouldn't fill my pockets with stones and pebbles. And I definitely wouldn't fill my water bottles with urine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So
this is just a douchebag. By the way, Frank Calmarty Murphy says that Trump is a Nazi.
Yay. So,
yeah. That's a person that likes to put labels on stuff.
Yeah.
He's a Nazi. Because he won. I mean, he won the election. People saying he's a Nazi.
Has to be.
He has to be a Nazi.
And that proves that most of America has to be Nazis too, right? Because...
Well, isn't that the greatest thing now? Because you can't... That's the problem now. You can't express yourself without these hoople heads. Because here's the thing I found about the left. Most of them want to be smarter than they are. They really do. I mean, there's a lot of them that, you know, these groups, like on Facebook, these bullies.
Yeah.
This is the problem. You got these internet bullies. That the minute you say anything, they'll draw like it's so hypocritical when people say, oh, don't judge gay people, don't judge black people, you can't judge a book by its cover. Then you make one fucking post on Facebook, you're already labeled a racist and a Nazi because you believe in freedom of speech. It's hypocritical and it's nonsensical.
There was I don't know what it's called. I think Fleka Talks or something. One of the guys that goes around and just interviews people at protests. And there was a guy with a sign that had. You know, the illustration was a picture of Nazi Germany.
Right.
And every word was Trump's going to become Hitler as it goes down. Right.
Yeah.
So he was making this huge comparison to Trump and Hitler. So the guy goes, so what'd you think about Sean Spicer when he compared Assad to Hitler during that one little press conference where he goes, I don't think that's right. I think if you're going to play with something real like the Hitler thing, you can't just say that somebody, he goes, oh, kind of like your sign.
Yeah. It's so much hypocrisy and there's so much ignorance that it's crazy. Speaking of ignorance, here's our last story of the day. Dumped on my deathbed, man dumps wife days after she's paralyzed by a stroke. What a prick. Hmm. Yeah, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. What? If she can't use her legs, fuck her. She's gone.
Oh, doesn't say stroke.
Perry. Lanny Travis tells a joke. For richer, they sell for richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health, for richer and for poorer. And Lenny's like, yes, no, yes, no. A mom of four, dumped by her husband days after being paralyzed by a stroke, has found love again with a personal trainer who helped her recover. Well, good for her. Riona Kelly, 37, was left paralyzed from the waist down following a spinal stroke. That's the one my dog suffered, and was told she would never walk again. After just 5 days in the hospital, she claimed her husband, Richard, and that's a dick for you.
That's a dick.
She had been with for over 14 years, requested a divorce. But she didn't stop there. She started banging her sexy trainer. Now, how would you feel about that? How would you feel if you were with a woman for 14 years, you had kids and everything, and then she, I mean, what are you going to do? You're not going to leave her?
No.
That's mean. It's an asshole.
Absolutely.
That's cruel.
It's horrible.
Now, I wonder how many of his friends, like you, Matt, let's say he was one of your friends. Like, what happened with you and Susan? Oh, I left her. What the fuck? She just got paralyzed. Yeah, I want a chick with legs. Do you think his friend's going to leave him now?
No, but when it comes down to trust issues, they're not gonna treat him the same way anymore.
Right. Is he superficial? Is that a good way, you would say the least? He's superficial?
At the least, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they'll still take shots and stuff and go out and play darts.
Yeah, especially if he's buying. You know, hey, you're a real asshole. Just if you can buy the first two or three rounds, we'll fine. You can still hang out with us. Do you ever have a friend do something really odd and stop? You took it in and realized that person's not probably part of the group. We had a couple people in the past that did that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like I had a friend one time. We used to always go out and we'd buy. You know, I'd buy me and my buddies. We'd go out. Whoever had their hand in their pocket, I got the round. Don't worry about it. I got the round. There's always this one of our friends that never fucking bought. And one of my other friends goes, "Does that fucking guy ever reach in his pocket for any money?" But he got so complacent and used to us always buying the drinks. And we didn't ever complain. We're like, whatever. But after a while, we're like, all right, cheap bastard. Don't invite him. My buddy says, Rick says, don't invite that guy anymore. I'm like, all right, don't let him come. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
It was action-packed, guys.
That's it. I want to thank Ciro Dobrik for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can catch Ciro tonight, by the way, at the 19th hole.
Every Monday, 10 o'clock, we do some comedy.
Cool. That's right. And John Greenberg, you got some gigs coming up?
I got a gig on September 15th at the Living Room in Boynton Beach.
Great guitarist. Love this guy when he plays guitar.
Definitely,
man.
Check him out.
Loved your rendition of White Wedding.
Thank you.
And we ought to do a duet, man. I want next time you come to a thing, I want to sing a duet.
Which part are you going to do?
I'll sit there and I'm a good singer, man.
Yeah?
All
right.
You know how to play,
No, I don't know that one. What else you got?
It's Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb.
No, but I'll learn it if you're going to
sing it. Yeah, I'll sing it.
All right.
Nice.
You know how to play Space Odyssey by David Bowie?
Yes.
I could sing that.
All right. We'll
That's one of my favorite karaoke tunes.
Well, cool.
Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget, tomorrow in the studio, Peter Leonard and Elgin David will be here. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And, of course, follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and on Twitter. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back tomorrow right here at the same spot. Take care.
In the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground.